Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener-supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is not Jim Patrick, your host on the wrong deal. Well, this is Ed Patzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I'm very pleased to. I'll be joined today by Mike Sparks, who's an expert in military operations. And I'm very concerned to get Mike's take on exactly what's been going on here with the invading force, as I see it. Completely outrageous what's taking place on our southern border. And in addition, of course, I want to bring you up to date with some of the latest. Here we have Mike entering with me, and I'm very pleased to have him here. Threatened to send hundreds of long-range drones to attack. Mike's coming in again. Let me see what I can do. Yes. Mike, can you hear me? I don't hear him. In any case, Britain has sent hundreds of long-range attack drones missiles to Ukraine. This is so stupid on the part of the United Kingdom. I can hardly believe it. They're engaging in this kind of atrocious behavior, but there it is. Britain has announced plans to provide Ukraine's Western-backed military with hundreds of long-range attack drones, coinciding with a high-profile visit to London by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to ask for more. Today, the Prime Minister will confirm the further UK provision of hundreds of air defense missiles and further unmanned aerial systems, including hundreds of new long-range attack drones with a range of over 200 kilometers, the government said, amidst reports by the local media that Zelensky was holding talks with the British Prime Minister. These will all be delivered over the coming months as Ukraine prepares to intensify its resistance. Mike, can you hear me, my friend? Mike, are you there? Meanwhile, these will all be delivered over the coming months as Ukraine prepares to intensify its resistance, we're told, in the conflict against Russian forces. The Downing Street statement further vowed, amid new split push to provide Kiev with massive amounts of advanced weaponry in anticipation of its widely publicized spring offensive. Mike, I'd be so pleased to get your comments on this already. Can we connect? Are you there? Mike, I can see your icon, and I see your mic, and it doesn't appear to be muted, but I'm not hearing you. Can you hear me? Well, we work out the technical glitches. The prime minister declared this is a crucial moment in Ukraine's resistance to a terrible war of aggression they did not choose or provoke. Sinek's remark was described by local observers as quite ironic in view of Britain's heavy involvement in destructive U.S.-led wars of aggression against Afghanistan and Iraq, and amidst its history of waging military interventions and establishing colonial rule in countries across the globe. Britain became the first Western country to provide Kiev force with long-range cruise missile named the Storm Shadow, a turbojet-powered missile cruises at Mach 0.8 to a max range of 560 kilometers. Moscow has warned, however, it will hold countries providing long-range weaponry responsible for any attack on Russian soil, and that reserves the right to respond in kind. Britain, after the U.S., is the second largest provider of advanced armaments and munitions to Ukraine. Zelensky, whom until recently was denied long-range weaponry, began talks with the British Prime Minister, whom he described as my friend Rashi. The Ukrainian president has also held talks with the leaders of Germany, Italy, and France, demanding they supply Kiev with more and better weapons to fight. Mike, are you there? Mike, I see you. Mike, your sound is very, very faint. Can you work on it? Mike, the connection is just terrible. I'd love to get you in here, my friend, because you're so good on all these subjects. Can we make an audio? Mike, I can't. I can't really hear you. Some remote sounds in the background. Yeah. You want to come back in? Come back in. Let's see what we can do here. Meanwhile, there's a new book out that's rather fascinating. Why the West Can't Win by Fatih Lama. I mean, this is pretty damn astonishing, all things considered. From Bret Woods to a Multipolar World addresses how events in the three decades following the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991 have led to a shakeup in the world balance of power, signaling the end of a millennium of West European expansionism. The current global geopolitical clash is in essence a struggle between the colonial powers wishing to preserve the Bretton Woods system that allowed siphoning wealth of nations and sovereign nations striving for independence and an end to a millennium of oppression by the West. This work compares the geopolitical forces since the turn of the millennium with a view to providing insight into the relative strengths and likely outcome of this struggle. Beginning with a war for Ukraine, for regime change in Russia, events have proceeded at a blistering pace. The West, NATO are losing the proxy war in Ukraine aimed at regime change in Russia. Even the mainstream media are now hinting that Ukraine may lose this war. The West shock and awe sanctions have failed while damaging Western economies and actually benefiting Russia, BRICS, and the whole bit. Russia is surviving and thriving while the U.S. is struggling and Germany is suffering. De-dollarization looms on the horizon. China, Russia, Brazil, India, Asian nations, Kenya, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates are now using local currencies in trade. Saudi Arabia is selling oil in yuan. The United Arab Emirates is selling gas in yuan. Ghana, other oil-producing countries, are selling oil in gold instead of dollars. France, the United States' oldest ally, is now trading with China in yuan. China and Brazil are now trading in each other's currencies. India and Malaysia are currently using the Indian rupee for trade. The BRICS Economic Alliance of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa is developing its own currency. The geopolitical shift has been breathtaking. With a BRICS nation, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, setting themselves up as an alternative to existing international financial and political forums. Who is coming on board? Saudi Arabia, UAE, Egypt, Algeria, Argentina, Mexico, Nigeria, Iran, already there. The book's geopolitical analysis includes an historic overview and understanding of the financial systems established at the Bretton Woods Conference that continued dominating the global economy, how they use a powerful geopolitical instrument, an economic analysis based on real goods production, global energy dynamics, alliances, and strategies of key global players. Mike, have I got you now? Connecting to audio. Author Fadi Lama explains the rise of Western money power in controlling governments and societies worldwide and how it secured U.S. dollar dominance through neo-colonialist policies established at Bretton Woods in 1944. Now, the non-Western world led by China is using state-controlled central banking to surpass the West in industrial productivity. This, by the way, was greatly facilitated by Bill Clinton introducing NAFTA, where Rossborough warned us that giant sucking sound was all those jobs moving south. Because companies work on a profit margin. If they can get cheaper labor, they're going to go for it. The other has provided a brilliantly detailed analysis of the epical forces dictating today's massive shift in world geopolitical power. Richard Cook, former Treasury analyst and Challenger whistleblower, author, Wield These Truths, A Hope of Monetary Reform, observes of the book. A must read, one of the best primers on the economic forces shaping modern geopolitics. A no-filler, unrelenting assault of facts and figures, which exposes the main reasons for the West's decline and its eventual fading into economic, military, and cultural mediocrity, if not irrelevance. Andre Markinov, author, Losing Military Supremacy, The Myopia of American Strategic Planning and Disintegration, Indications of the Coming American Collapse. The author, Dr. Fadi Lama, is an international advisor for the European Bank of Reconstruction and Development, a partner in DNL Strategic Consulting, offering services in the field of geoeconomics, industry, SME, and academia. He is founder and general manager of a testing equipment and information automated system manufacturing company. He earned his PhD in mechanical engineering from Georgia Tech, his Master of Science in Manufacturing Technology from the City University of London, and his Bachelor of Engineering in Mechanical Engineering from the American University in Beirut. Rarely do I recommend a book, but this one looks like a winner. Why the West Can't Win. Mike, any luck here connecting, my friend? Any luck? Hopefully that will change. Meanwhile, at the border, truly shocking video of bridge built by the cartel into America, and that's only part of it. The end is insane. Ben Berkman tweets, Real America's Voice, Yuma, Arizona, truly shocking video of bridge built by the cartel into America, and that's only part of it. How many more days do we have to see before people rise up? Here's a video report about it. Just listen to the commentary. Well, we're not. Meanwhile, keep in mind, all Chinese nationals are here under orders from the Chinese Communist Party, preparing to attack or involved in attacks all over the United States, and are bought and paid for. Corrupt President Biden, actually complete phony, a fake, an actor wearing a latex mask, only helps them invade. Yes, that was the whole idea and why it was a necessity to put him in place. Now, 200-plus military-age Chinese males per week coming in to attack us. China knows what it is doing. Here's Bill Meglin tweeting. A new Texas DPS, Department of Public Safety trooper, encountered a group of 30 Chinese nationals walking on a road near Roma, Texas, in the Rio Grande Valley. The Texas Department of Public Safety says a trooper got them off the road, called Border Patrol, and the agent responded to process the group. RGV continues to see a surge of Chinese. Absolutely stunning the stuff taking place all around us. Meanwhile, the O'Keefe Media Group releases an undercover video. Fox News producer reveals Tucker's getting fired was part of the Dominion settlement. Huge. O'Keefe Media released undercover video Monday of a Fox insider spilling the beans on Tucker's firing. Fox News at Night producer Sean Langell told undercover journalists part of the Dominion settlement, including Tucker Carlson, being fired. Sean Langell, $744 million to settle that. Reporter, oh, that was with the Dominion company. What happened with that? Sean Langell, they gave him money. They said it wasn't part of it, but we're learning that Tucker getting fired was part of that. Reporter, Tucker getting fired was part of the Dominion lawsuit? Sean, part of the settlement. Yeah, he's ousted. And we got money from Pfizer. He, Tucker, brought up things that cost a lot of money, cost the company a lot of money. The whole thing about January, it was an inside job. FBI agent on the inside encouraged it. Meanwhile, decline in fall. CNN drops below Newsmax in primetime rating collapse. Struggling CNN dropped into fourth place behind Newsmax for primetime viewership rating last Friday night. A slump following a rare climb to the top driven by Donald Trump's town hall appearance, which of course has generated a huge amount of complaints from the left. They're very, very unhappy that that Trump was featured on a CNN program. Let's see if we got Mike here now. Fox News, Forbes reported CNN could only garner an average total of 335,000 viewers, trailing behind Newsmax 357,000. Fox finished third in prime with 1.44 million. MSNBC was second with 1.084. Forbes gave a beeper analysis among viewers 25 to 54. The demographic group most valued by advertisers, CNN climbed to third place with an average audience of 87,000. Fox was first in the key demo with 109,000, followed by MSNBC with 98, Newsmax fourth with 45,000. Mike, have I got you here, my friend? Mike, your mic is muted. Yeah. Speak. Speak. Mike. Damn. Can you hear me? You're muted, Mike. I see you're muted. I'm so eager to get you on here. More about the news reporting. Each of CNN's primetime hours trailed the competition of Newsweek Friday with Anderson Cooper 360 delivering a total audience of 447,000 viewers, taking fourth behind Fox News Tonight with a 1.3 million, MSNBC's All In with Chris Hayes 1.07 million, and Newsmax Eric Bolling with only 467,000. Just 48 hours before the precipitous drop, CNN was riding high after Trump's town hall was hosted by the network. Trump's confident, combative display yielded ratings about five times higher than the network's typical viewership in the 8 p.m. slot. The network scored 3.12 million total viewers, and 703,000 in the key 25 to 54 age demographic. The former president was quick to note the boost he gave CNN. People are criticizing CNN for giving me a forum to tell the truth. I believe it was a very smart thing they did. With sky-high ratings they haven't seen in a very long time. It was by far the biggest show of the night, the week, and the month. Trump has simply scolded the network for not doing more to applaud his appearance. Telling the messenger, he was amazed to see the network was traumatized by the event. As Breitbart has reported, Trump spoke with a newly launched news organization in a wide-ranging interview Monday that partly touched on his CNN town hall victory. When asked what he gleaned from the event, Trump told the messenger he was surprised by the level of hostility, as he thought the network was trying to win the viewers back. I couldn't agree more. Get this, by the way. Michelle Obama, the former First Lady of the United States, really, we should call her the First Man, has long been a popular figure in American politics, with many calling for her to run for president. However, with a 2024 presidential election looming, some are questioning whether or not her potential candidacy would be good for the country. This poll questions ask whether or not Michelle Obama running for president in 2024 would be bad for America, and whether or not her political experience and popularity would be enough to overcome any potential criticism or drawbacks. Michelle Obama running would be bad, 96%. Michelle Obama needs to run, 4%. Really. Totally opposite, for good reason. And of course, when the country figures out that Michelle is a man who's had breast implants with a huge shaving bill, I think enthusiasm for Michelle Obama is going to tank. Unbelievable. Faster than Bud Light after featuring a transgender in a promotion, one of the greatest economic business blunders of recent history. Bud's tanking, going down the tube. Michelle, I think, would not do any better. Meanwhile, I'm hoping to have Mike Sparks join me here after the break. We'll see if we can't connect. We'll see if we can't connect, but I can't hear a thing. I can't hear a thing from you, Mike. Can you hear me? Tell you what. You can hear me, but I can't hear you. What to do? Not good. Meanwhile, of course, we're coming up against a break here. I'll see if there's anything I can do to get Mike on, because he's obviously a great guy to join. Meanwhile, we'll have much more to report about the Durham report. Hopefully, Mike will be able to join us. Mike, this is my cell. I can't get you on that way, I don't think. I put it in there in chat. Okay.
Hi, Mike here. Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support, which has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform of free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com. The people station.
Press 1 to listen to your message. Press 2 to erase and re-record. Press 3 to continue recording where you left off.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Mike, are you there? Mike, are you there?
Go
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system. 7065.
Mike.
Me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Look, let's do it this way. I'll just put your cell up to my microphone and hope it works.
Okay.
It's been a bit of a fiasco. I don't know if you heard much before, but Britain is sending long-range missiles to Ukraine. I think that's insane, but there it is. Give us your thoughts about what's going on in Ukraine.
Basic problem is since 1945, the United States of America and these are other Western countries are not citizens participatory countries, meaning that we have turned over the helm of these nation, our nation states, to small groups of micro bureaucrats. Basically, compared to 330 million Americans, thousands of people are small. You know, it's micro. But you can't solve macro-level problems by micro-bureaucratic groups. But we've turned over the helm of the country. So they see that once they become in power of their country, in this case, Great Britain, no one's going to stop them. We're not involved in the operations like we were in World War II. In World War II, every citizen was directly involved in a significant way in the war effort. And there were citizens, we'll call them amateurs, newcomers, were put in charge. We're not in charge of jack shit. If what the nation state does in our name, with our resources, our good name, our collective power is in their hands. And this has got to stop. It's a fundamental weakness, a fatal weakness that the American people and the British people, obviously other Europeans too, that they've turned over life's details to micro-bureaucracy. And it's been that way since at least 1954 at the Bilderberg meeting when they decided this was going to happen, where we're never going to let people like James Gavin, Matthew Ridgway, George Patton, or Rosie the Riveter run jack shit ever again. Because look what happened. They ruined our Hitler experiment. They ruined it. We're not going to let the American citizens or the British citizens or any European citizen be in charge of anything. They'll learn. They're quick learners. See what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's a systemic problem that we don't have any adult supervision is not good, the right word, moral supervision over and a veto over what these people do once they get in power. And that goes right back to the 1787 U.S. Constitution, which we need to stop worshiping that thing. That thing is a piece of crap. It's just not working. It has no safeguards against this kind of thing.
Michael, let me pursue that with you. I mean, I think the Constitution may be the greatest political document ever designed by the hand of man, with a division of power into three branches, legislative, executive, and judiciary. So the legislature passes the law, the executive enforces, the judiciary interprets, with periodic election, with reform, every 4 years president, every 2 years members of the House, with opportunities for a recall, referenda, for even impeachment. What do you see as the major flaws in the Constitution? My position
there's no adult supervision. If somebody in the CIA wants to contact the U.S. Air Force and send nuclear warheads to anybody they damn well please, there's nobody stopping them. It's an outdated system. It has nothing in that system to account for a bureaucracy like the CIA that is constantly illegally, criminally instigating wars, and it doesn't have any safeguards against the military-industrial complex, a bureaucracy like the U.S. Air Force that has these weapons that they basically could use them in a fait accompli kind of way, and who's going to stop? It's the U.S. Constitution was created by John Adams and Madison and these other lawyer clowns. They weren't created by military men. And that's one of the things that the Freemasonic mentality, it counts on. The men of action, kinetic action, are going to be able to always do what they want and ask for forgiveness later. So, yeah, they're going to send anything they damn well can get away with to Ukraine because they hate anything that's moral and stoical. Would be a Trump, or in this case, Putin's Russia. And so that is a rabid, you know, foaming at the mouth motivation for this whole war that's been instigated for years because they decided that the GWAT racket, Global War on Terror racket, wasn't making enough money. So basically, yeah, if it's such a great concept, a great document, it doesn't account for corporations, doesn't account for rackets, you know, racket theory, that corporations are going to milk problems instead of solving them, and so will bureaucracies that are supposed to be working for the overall good of the people. Who's saying no, yes, yes, no, yes, you're doing it, no, here, you're out of business, no. No one's doing that. No one's pulling the plug on the CIA or the U.S. Air Force or corporations, Monsanto, DuPont, whatever. That have been found to do things that are destructive to the public interest. And in fact, over time, your John Adams types have turned the corporation, this is absurd, into a living person. Come on now. That's just absolutely a lie in objective reality. Corporation's not a person. If it's a person, then let's string them up for hang them for treason. You know what I mean?
Well, Mike. Yeah, the idea is that they're treated as though they were persons. Of course, literally, they're not persons. No one would deny that. But the point is, I would say the things you're describing have to do with specific laws and specific legal entities and the relation between them that is independent of the Constitution. That if the Constitution were being followed, if those who are in the positions of responsibility in the Department of Justice and the FBI, to give the most obvious example, were adhering to the law, we would not be in the dire straits we're in today. And, of course, that includes...
I disagree. The U.S. Constitution should say there's a baseline of morality, thou shalt not kill, don't bear false witness, don't steal, don't cheat, don't covet. There's no morality in the U.S. Constitution. Instead, it's going to just default to the U.S. Code. And if they decide, that doesn't violate the U.S. Code. Example, Obama, Biden and Harris, for a whole month, declared that they were their president and vice president-elect. That's violating a U.S. Code. That you're lying to the public and it's causing people to die. That is a felony that would disqualify them from holding office. Nobody enforces that.
Nobody enforces the U.S. Constitution.
But so that's the fault of the U.S. Constitution. U.S. Constitution should have the U.S. Constitutional police. There isn't. There should be a grand jury of the United States to stop reality fraud. There isn't one there because the founders of founding fathers participated in the 1773 Boston Tea Party. They have a sweet spot for false flag attacks. If you want out of this mess, we've got to give the blame to where it's due. That's the U.S. Constitution's lack of morality and lack of enforcement. War Powers Act. Right? It's been going on a lot longer than 90 days. And sending advisors in to another country and having them engage in direct combat, as Robert Kennedy Jr. has said publicly that his son, an 18 Bravo Special Forces sergeant, weapons sergeant, has directly fought against the Russians in the Ukraine. Nobody has said jack squat about that because he's their boy. They like Robert Kennedy. He's a green light to their various degeneracies that the nihilist hedonists have. So they just like had amnesia when he said that a couple weeks ago. So we're already violating the War Powers Act. Where's the enforcement of the U.S. Constitution? There isn't it? So you got a population that's disconnected from the kinetic actions of the nation state, and you have the nation state micro bureaucrats. No one's holding them to obey the Constitution or the U.S. laws, you know, U.S. code. So what do you expect? You know, one of these days, a nuke's going to just appear to go off. And then, of course, blame it on Russia. Again, no reality fraud. Now, another thing is, after the Constitution was written, John Adams created this adversarial legal system where we can't do jack shit until we find somebody to blame. What happened to just finding out what the hell happened? Then you can go blame people and depose them, make them talk, or they, you know, go to jail for perjury, that kind of thing. But there's nothing like, there's no intellectual curiosity in the United States. The United States is populated by people who are descendants of the wagon people, Little House on the Prairie. They're not really very high IQ people. They're kinetic. They want to do things with their hands. Jim, they're not interested in the truth. The average American doesn't give a shit about the truth because he's a nihilist or he's or she's a nihilist. And they say, what's the point of, you know, sorting out the truth? And yeah, you could probably find out what the exact objective reality truth is, but just say we're just going to die. We're just going to die. Life's going to go out. Party's over. So why waste your time worrying about the truth? I'm telling you, nihilism is not tolerable in a civilization. If you're going to live like an animal like that, and there's no point to anything, that's criminal behavior. So again, that is the U.S. Constitution not having a minimum standard of moral stoical behavior. So we have a bottomless pit right now. There, everyone's lowering the LCD of norms to nothing. There is no bottom. If you want to have sex with poop, cut your genitals off, dye your hair purple, call the sky blue, black, whatever. The First Amendment is being used to justify degeneracy that is unsafe and poses a survival risk to the existence of our civilization. If we let these things go, we ain't going to exist because we still live on a very hostile planet, and diseases and germs will kill us if we start doing this stupid stuff. And we have active enemies, human enemies, that will put us down. And we've alienated everybody in the world. When I mean we, the pedophile Illuminati that have taken control of our country have used our good name and our resources and our perceived national will to their evil ends, and the world hates us.
Well, I do believe it is the case that the Constitution is a framework for government that presumes the goodwill of decent people. And what you're suggesting is, in the absence of decent people of goodwill, it can be subject to massive abuse. No one, I think, would argue with you about that, Mike. The question is,
they're not doing it right. They're not arguing with me from a systemic point of view. There should be in the U.S. Constitution a forbidden, you know, forbidden to be a member of a secret society and hold any office from dog catcher to president of the United States. They didn't put that in the Constitution because they're members of the secret society. Benjamin Franklin was a member of the Hellfire Club and all kinds of degenerate Freemasonic societies. The concept of a secret society runs counter and cannot be tolerated in a society where everyone's supposed to be above board and to be what they appear to be and play fair. It's underhanded, evil criminality, and there's no protection against secret societies taking over, and that's what they've done. You know I'm right.
I'm selling them. Honestly, I'm not at all sure we're in agreement about these issues, but I want to invite your attention to another major problem. Maybe the flood of migrants coming across the border is completely illegal as far as I can see. It's totally irrational. I think it's all deliberate, however, and purposeful, that they're bringing in an invading army. I don't know if you have caught my little piece, what the hell is going on, where I explain that, it appears to me you got an army coming across the border without arms, but that the government has stockpiled arms and caches because you had non-law enforcement agencies like the National Institute of Health, the Environmental Protection Agency, even NASA, for example, expending close to $4 billion in arms for no apparent reason, given they're not law enforcement or Department of Defense-related agencies. I believe those caches of arms are awaiting this migrant army to catch up. And in order to command and communicate, they've given them cell phones. I see all the elements here for a complete catastrophe of guerrilla warfare being waged by these millions of migrants coming across the border, who many have observed are very physically fit and of appropriate age for military service. I'm very keen to have your thoughts about all of this.
I put a solution on your video and VidShoot. I put it in the comment section. I explained the military appraisal of the situation. And the shorthand is that the states of Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, and California have to declare a state of emergency, call up all of their National Guardsmen, and create a infantry line across the 2,000-mile length of the southern border. Step two, backed by tanks and engineering vehicles, they need to finish the Trump Wall using ISO shipping containers. Step three is they need to take the people that have been captured. They should not be allowed to cross. And I'm talking about shoot to kill here. I have no problem with that. They try to cross, we should shoot them with plastic bullets and whatnot and deadly force to stop them. After they see a few people get shot, they got the message. But they should be in detained, put in a camp, temporary tent camp, and identified and sent back to their country to make their country great again. But then the fourth step would be the people that are here in the United States ensconced. They need to be identified, and they need to be put through some kind of 2 years of national service and develop some kind of skills and some kind of loyalty to our country, and they must sign a loyalty oath that if they break it, they will be deported again. I'm sorry, but this is an extraordinary crime that they've done by inviting themselves to our country without going through the proper procedures. So they're going to have to do more to become a citizen than just be born here.
But
so
produce
the solution, Jim.
But bear in mind, Mike, that's not going to happen. You had the theft of the election in Arizona, say, so that Carrie Lake could not become governor. She would have taken a strong stance. They put in the Katie Hobbs in Arizona. She's going to do nothing. She's complicit part of the problem. In California, you got Gavin Newsom. God knows he's not going to do anything about it. Greg Abbott has made some feeble attempts. I don't know the score in New Mexico. Perhaps you're more familiar with the details there than I.
But I've got a solution for that, Jim. I knew you were going to say this, and I've even hinted at it, that we're going to have a problem getting the border closed in California, spelled with a K. But the answer is revolt. At some point, the United States American citizens have to realize we have to be involved with macro-level problems. We need macro-level participation, citizen participation, to solve it. So be more clear, if we don't have National Guardsmen with a rifle on the border, then American citizens are going to have to go there and do it. And if they're tried to be stopped, then we have to stop. We have to shoot back and say, sorry, this is our country. They're invading us. This is self-defense. You know, Thomas Jefferson said that every once in a while you're going to have to reset this government of ours, stop worshiping the damn thing. It's not perfect. You're going to have to reset it every once in a while. And that means going through 1776 again.
Wow.
Remember, macro-level problems need macro-level solutions. And that means a 330 million American nation state that's 2,000 miles across from the land southern border, and 3,000 miles across, holistically, that's going to take everybody being involved. This micro-bureaucracy solving our problem idea has failed. It's a lie. It was put down to us by the elite, secret societies that took over our country. We need to reject this micro-bureaucracy model for how America lives. Now, the second problem is a qualitative problem, is that people are going to say, oh, you're being mean. You know, if you shoot the plastic bullets at the refugees coming, they're just coming here to have a better life. They're, of course, ignoring the kinetic situation. We have a problem in the United States where the American people are dumb shits, and they look at everything like it's a personal issue that's in a courtroom. Like, oh, you're violating their civil rights, their human rights. They're not looking at it kinetically as a military man or policeman having to solve a situation. They're looking at everything like it's a personal affront. It's a personal situation instead of a situational situation. And they're blind to that concept of a situation is not the same as everybody whining about the perceived slights. So if we had a nation state of people that did 2 years of national service, we're going to say, look, I was in the Conservation Corps. We had a forest fire. It felt like that you were slighted at the mess hall. We don't have time for it now. There's a fire over there, and it's going to sweep over us, and we're all going to die. You know what I'm saying? That's what's not here in the American people's minds. They're full of this petty cell phone trivialities, you know, life process sins and complaints. Meanwhile, there's a forest fire ready to flash over them. You see what I mean? There's no kinetic situational awareness in these people that one time when they were wagon people, they had it. They circle the wagons. Their Indians are here. Circle the wagons. You know? Don't have time to hear about your complaint about the wagon master being mean to me. There's arrows flying, okay? So it's a situation where everyone's thinking like a lawyer when they need to think like a soldier. And that they haven't been soldiers themselves, you know, in their life. They haven't done any national service. When I mean soldier, in any kind of national service. They have no kinetic situational awareness appreciation. That you're going to have to do severe qualitative things to take care of this macro level problem.
Well, is the country going to rise to the occasion? I'm very doubtful it's going to happen. I'm sorry to say, Mike, I think, you know, this is an extreme situation. I do believe the entire nation is at stake. But I'm very dubious that we're going to see a response. I can see where attacks on militias over all these years for a long time has been intended to weaken our capacity to respond to a situation of this very, very kind.
Correct. You know, you want to stop them at the border, not when they get to your street. But the answer is no, I don't think so. If you're a nihilist, you're not going to be willing to do this. You don't feel like anything in your life matters in the big picture. There is no big picture. You die, the lights go out. That's it. So try to stay alive as long as you can. Well, if that happens, then the zombies are going to appear at your street. And then you're going to need to have, like they did in the former Yugoslavia, is street defense forces, you know, neighborhood defense forces. You have to learn who your neighbors are. And make sure nobody enters your street, you know, the beginning or the ending of your street. And you're going to have to ride out the collapse of your society. We're not at the collapse of society yet. But if you're saying that we hook up these, body chemicals that are just getting the young males,
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
On the other side.
If you think for one second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, before I turn to the Durham report, let me explain that poll 2 and 3 Floridians want Trump over DeSantis. Florida Republicans may have their GOP governor, but it's former President Trump, a resident of the state they'd prefer to see in the White House in 2024. According to a poll of Sunshine State voters. Despite recent legal battles and DeSantis' unofficial moves into the spotlight, 69% of registered GOP Floridian voters say they'll back Trump in 2024, according to a poll conducted by Florida Atlantic University and Main Street Research. 18% said they somewhat support Trump. Survey participants said they would back Trump 59% over DeSantis at 31%. former President Trump continues to be a strong candidate for the Republican nomination, and his support appears durable and consistent, said Kevin Wagner, the FAU, a political science professor. The poll talked to 1,081 registered voters in Florida between April 13th and 14th. Dick Morris is even suggesting that DeSantis ought to stay out of the race in 2024.
Why is everyone talking about Navage and nasal irrigation?
I am one who suffers from chronic sinus infection.
You need to clean that crap out of your nose.
Navage is simple. Your nose is the body's air filter, but it's not perfect. Navage.
Sorry about that. To help flush. Wow. Meanwhile, political expert Dick Morris, host of Dick Morris Democracy, told Newsmax Tuesday Governor Ron DeSantis has a better shot at running in 2028 than he does in 2024. Morris said DeSantis entering the race against former President Donald Trump would open him up to unnecessary attacks that, should he decide to run again later, would hinder his chances. Dick Morris, a very savvy guy, in my opinion. DeSantis has a good shot at the presidency in 2028, he said. He has an unblemished reputation and record in Florida. If he jumps into this race, however, and Trump goes after him, he won't have that anymore. Morris explained Trump will go after DeSantis on his past stances to cut and privatize Social Security and Medicare. Back in 2012, DeSantis had told the St. Augustine Record that he supported more consumer choice in Social Security and Medicare, then backing former House Speaker Paul Ryan's proposal to overhaul the programs. This guy's lost about 20 points in favorability since it was rumored that he was running, Morris said of the Florida governor, who has yet to announce his presidential bid. And when he actually runs, it's going to go down even further. Morris' comments arrived after an INI tip poll released Monday showed 55% of Republican primary voters back Trump, up from 47% in the same survey released last month and 51% in March. In ours, here's yet another. This is in addition to the Florida Atlantic poll. Meanwhile, DeSantis was at 17, down from 23 in April, and 21 before that. I think Dick Morris has it right, and that it would be a mistake for DeSantis to run. Now, the Epoch Times does a pretty good job of reporting in some detail major stories. Here's what they have to say about the Durham report. Reveals massive failure in FBI investigation of Trump. Special counsel find probe was seriously deficient and agency was blindsided by confirmation bias. Well, confirmation bias means looking for evidence to support a predetermined conclusion, looking for what you want to find. It's a variation or the same as the special pleading fallacy, well known to students of informal logic and critical thinking, to wit, selecting only the evidence that's favorable to your side and eliminating the rest, like the used car salesman who talks about the terrific car stereo and the leather upholstery and neglects to mention the car needs a ring job and the transmission is shot. It's a fallacious form of reasoning that we find in many different contexts. However, when it comes to prosecution of the law, where the prosecutors bear the what is said to be the greater burden, because while the defense attorneys are entitled to use special pleading and only cite the evidence favorable to their client, the prosecutor is supposed to look at both sides, all of the evidence, and thereby adhere to the what's known as the requirement of total evidence in scientific and philosophical contents, namely basing your reasoning on all of the available relevant evidence. For evidence is relevance when its presence or absence or truth or falsity makes a difference to this empirical or evidential support for a conclusion. if a truth or falsity, presence or absence of evidence, makes a difference in the truth or falsity of an hypothesis or theory, then it's evidentially relevant to that theory. Prosecutors are supposed to base their reasoning, actions, and conduct on all of the available evidence, and they have a responsibility to ensure defendants are not improperly prosecuted. But as the Durham report demonstrates, that is a figment of the distant past in terms of America, and in my opinion, is one of the most telling signs that we are no longer a nation of law and order, but have descended into the pit of banana republics. For using politicized law enforcement to attack your political opponents, to subject them to unjust trials and the like, is routine. That happens all the time. So, what do we have here? The FBI didn't interview the people connected to the information that the agency used to open a full investigation of the Trump campaign during the heat of the 2016 presidential election, according to the report by Special Counsel John Durham. They didn't even bother to interview the key people who were involved in all of this. What could be more telling? The Bureau rushed open the initial investigation based on unvetted intelligence from Australia, according to Durham, who spent nearly 3 years investigating the origins of the FBI's investigation of the Trump campaign. The FBI's rush to opening the investigation and the shoddy evidence used as a premise for the probe for a departure from how the department treated other politically sensitive investigations in 2016. That includes the inquiry into the Clinton Foundation, which was virtually frozen in the lead-up to Election Day in 2016. The much-anticipated report, a copy of which the Epoch Times obtained ahead of its public release, also delves into other controversial aspects of Crossfire Hurricane, the FBI codename for the investigation of the Trump campaign. The objective facts show that the FBI's handling of important aspects of the Crossfire Hurricane matter were seriously deficient, the report states. The special counsel further impugned the Bureau's error-ridden applications to survey Trump campaign associate Carter Page. FBI agents applied to renew the secret court warrants on Page, despite admitting, both at the time and subsequently, that they had no probable cause to do so. Durham concludes, the FBI failed to uphold its important mission of strict fidelity to the law. What an understatement. The special counsel does not recommend any wholesale changes in the guidelines and policies that the department and the FBI now have in place. The answer is not the creation of new rules, but a renewed fidelity to the old, meaning the law is just fine, but they were not following it. They were abusing it. They were grossly violating the law. The promulgation of additional rules and regulation to be learned in yet more training sessions would likely prove to be a fruitless exercise if the FBI's guiding principles of fidelity, bravery, and integrity aren't ingrained in the hearts and minds of those sworn to meet the FBI's mission of protecting the American people and upholding the Constitution of the United States. What he's reporting here, in other words, seems to me very consistent with my interpretation, unlike Mike's, to wit that the Constitution provides a framework which assumes a goodwill and character of individuals carrying out the law in a manner faithful to the Constitution. Thus, in my opinion, as well illustrated by this case, It's not the Constitution that's involved or requires to be reformed. It's the adherence to the Constitution. It's enforcement of the laws. It's acting in a practice and manner that is faithful to the law, which the FBI and the Department of Justice in this instance manifestly did not do. Trump, who has long condemned the investigation as a witch hunt and a hoax, responded to the report's release on Truth Social. Wow. After extensive research, Special Counsel John Durham concludes the FBI never should have launched the Trump-Russia probe. In other words, the American public was scammed, just as it's being scammed right now by those who don't want to see greatness for America. The FBI stated to the Epoch Times, the conduct in 2016 and 17 that Special Counsel Durham examined was the reason that current FBI leadership already implemented dozens of corrective actions, which have now been in place for some time. Had those reforms been in place in 2016, the missteps identified in the report could have been prevented. This report reinforces the importance of ensuring the FBI continues to do its work with the rigor, objectivity, and professionalism the American people deserve and rightly expect. Opening crossfire hurricane. The FBI didn't speak to the people who provided the information used for opening the investigation, Durham found. The Bureau also failed to examine its old databases, check with other intelligence agencies, interview essential witnesses, and use any of the standard analytical tools typically employed by the FBI in evaluating raw intelligence. While Durham doesn't attribute a motive to the shoddy work, he points a pronounced hostile feeling toward Trump from Peter Strzok, a person in charge. Had the FBI followed its own rules, the Bureau's agents would have discovered that neither the Bureau nor the CIA had any evidence to show that Trump or anyone in his campaign had been in contact with any Russian intelligence officials at any time during the campaign. The handling of the Trump investigation was a departure from the cautious approach the Bureau took in handling matters related to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Trump's election opponent, the report found. In one example, the FBI and Justice Department restricted an inquiry into the Clinton Foundation so that little to no investigative activity could take place in the month leading up to the election. Surprise, surprise. Durham highlights the distinct approach the FBI took to intelligence it received from a trusted foreign source, indicating that the Clinton campaign planned to smear Trump by tying him to Russian President Vladimir Putin. The Clinton campaign's goal, the intelligence said, was to divert attention from the scandal concerning Clinton's use of an unauthorized private server to transmit top-secret government emails. Unlike the FBI's opening of a full investigation of unknown members of the Trump campaign based on raw, uncorroborated information, in this separate matter involving a purported Clinton campaign plan, the FBI never opened any type of inquiry, issued any taskings, employed any analytical personnel, or produced any analytical products in connection with that information. This lack of action was despite the fact that the significance of the Clinton plan intelligence was such as to have prompted the director of the CIA to brief the president, vice president, attorney general, director of the FBI, and other senior government officials about its content within days of its receipt. FBI couldn't corroborate Steele dossier. Federal investigators never managed to corroborate any of the claims in the infamous Steele dossier. Durham's investigators concluded the dossier's author, former British intelligence officer Christopher Steele, couldn't corroborate any of the claims, even when the FBI offered him $1 million to do so in his own dossier. similar to Durham's report, that by special counsel Robert Mueller in 2019 included no corroboration of claims in the Steele dossier. The Clinton campaign staff paid for the creation and dissemination of the Steele dossier using a law firm as a cutout. The campaign and the Democrat National Committee agreed to pay federal fines last year from concealing the nature of the payments for the dossier. Steele hired a U.S.-based Russian national, Igor Danchenko, to compile the claims in the dossier. Like Steele, Danchenko couldn't back up any of the claims when confronted by the FBI. Rather, Danchenko characterized the information he provided Steele as rumor and speculation and the product of casual conversation. FBI spies taped three Trump campaign advisors. The FBI used three spies or confidential human sources to target and record Trump campaign advisors, including Carter Page, George Papadopoulos, and an unnamed senior foreign policy advisor, according to Durham. Notably, the recordings of Page and Papadopoulos included exculpatory statements that the FBI failed to disclose to the Justice Department and the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court. Page's tape statement is credited claims in the Steele dossier about his alleged connection to former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort. The FBI failed to act on those leads and didn't report them to the DOJ. The report's findings followed Durham's successful prosecution and conviction of FBI attorney Kevin Kleinsmith, who was found guilty of forging an email used to obtain a warrant to spy on Page. Dossier could be Russian disinformation. A former associate of Danchenko informed the FBI in 2008 that the Russian national told me he had access to people who would pay for classified information. The tip triggered a preliminary investigation by the FBI in 2009. The FBI converted its investigation into a full after learning that Danchenko had been identified as an associate of two FBI counterintelligence subjects and had previous contact with the Russian embassy and known Russian intelligence officials. Despite knowing these details in January of 2017, the Bureau failed to inform the Secret Surveillance Court or to update the application in which it cited claims that ultimately came from Danchenko. As a result, the court couldn't use the information to assess Danchenko's credibility. Instead of following up the 2011 investigation, the Bureau hired Danchenko as a confidential human source in 2017 as it continued to investigate the Trump campaign. Durham suggests that the FBI's lack of curiosity about Danchenko may have made the Bureau, a victim of Russian disinformation. Appears to me they wanted him on the inside so they could treat him as though he were reliable, even though they knew he was completely unreliable and was fabricating evidence. It appears the FBI never gave appropriate consideration to the possibility that the intelligence Danchenko was providing to Steele, which again, according to Danchenko himself, made up a significant majority of the information in the Steele dossier reports, was in whole or in part Russian disinformation. Really, Russia had nothing to do with it. It was just the kind of garbage Hillary wanted. Fake claim in Steele dossier came from former DNC official. During the relevant time before and after the 2016 election, Danchenko maintained a relationship with Charles Dolan, who has held multiple positions with the Democrat National Committee. Dolan and Danchenko both traveled to Moscow in the summer of 2016. Danchenko has said it was during that trip he learned salacious rumors about Trump from Ritz-Carlton employees in Russia's capital. But Durham's investigators found it was Dolan, not Danchenko, who interacted with the hotel staff. The findings suggest that a prominent former DNC official could be the ultimate source behind the most bombastic claims in the Steele dossier. Dolan also told Durham's investigators that he fabricated another claim in the dossier concerning Manafort's resignation from the Trump campaign. Although Durham was unable to prove, some of the other claims in the dossier came from Dolan. Both Dolan and Danchenko were communicating with the same Russian national, Olga Galninka. Danchenko has told the FBI that Galkina was a key source for some of the claims in the dossier. In fact, when Galkina was interviewed by the FBI in August of 2017, she admitted to providing Dolan with information that would later appear in the Steele reports. Durham's report concludes. Stunning stuff. You know, anyone who grew up believing that we had a responsible government, that we had a Department of Justice who cared about the American people or about justice or about the Constitution, has to be about as completely and thoroughly disillusioned by all of this nonsense as one could possibly imagine. There's just no way around it that the United States has fallen, not just far short of its aspirations, but has completely abandoned them and politicized government and the administration of law. Outrageous. Simply outrageous. And it's just a travesty and confirms that the United States is no longer a nation of laws, but has become nothing more than another banana republic, just like those we've always claimed to be superior, because we adhere to law and order. We believe in the concept of equal justice under law. We believe that everyone is entitled to due process of law, regardless of their stature, position in society, their race, their income, their religion, or their sexual orientation. None of that turns out to be true. Sad, sad to say.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
La la la.
join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I have Mike Sparks back with us, I'm glad to say, and I have a report here. Texas governor sends SOS to fellow governors, seeks border security help. Texas Governor Greg Abbott sent an SOS to his fellow 49 governors Tuesday, asking for help to secure the state's 1,254-mile border with Mexico. Abbott sent a letter to every governor.
National Guard to secure their own border, my first question.
Yeah, that's a good question. Sent a letter.
State.
Hang on,
it's
Mike.
Big state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sent a letter to every governor of every state asking for their help after the Public Health Authority Title 42 ended on May 12th, and roughly 150,000 people are estimated to be congregated on the Mexican side. Actually, the number is much larger. Groups of tens of thousands have already arrived in the Rio Grande Valley and other areas of Texas, overwhelming Border Patrol agents. Governor Abbott has already sent more than 10,000 Texas National Guard troops as border communities continue to declare emergency. The call for help comes after at least 125 known suspected terrorists have been apprehended illegally entering the southern border this fiscal year. And as a former ICE chief argues, Biden admin policies are the greatest national security threat since 9/11. While the Biden admin has sent 1,500 military personnel to help Border Patrol agents process illegal foreign nationals into the U.S., they aren't acting in a law enforcement capacity. Since taking office, President Biden has willfully refused to enforce our nation's immigration laws while systematically dismantling every effective border security policy that previously led to the lowest number of illegal border crossings in decades, Abbott wrote. The resultant surge in illegal immigration and transnational criminal activity is a direct consequence of these misguided actions. Misguided, of course, unless your objective is to destroy America. Mike, I can't see any way around it. That this
administration. There is another solution, Jim. I didn't have a chance last time. The sheriffs of all the counties adjacent to these borders could deputize American citizens, which have their own equipment, their own weapons and ammunition.
Very good. I think that is it, Mike. I think that's wonderful. The sheriffs who uphold the Constitution can deputize other citizens of the state, and they can use their arms to enforce the law. Mike, I think that's the key. I think that is it. I think that's exactly right.
Yeah, well, he needs to contact Governor Abbott, needs to call all of the sheriffs in his state to do that, to get it started, and then inform the other states of New Mexico, Arizona, and California, the deputies, sheriffs there, to have their deputies deputized, and they can screen to make sure the guy's not a crazy, and that he's a moral, stoical American military vet. You know what I'm saying? Someone who knows what he's doing and
experience and training. You don't want to deputize just anyone willy-nilly, but there are a whole lot of Americans capable and responsible of exercising firearms who could come to the defense of the nation when deputized by the sheriffs and act in a law enforcement capacity. Mike, I think you have put your finger on the key.
Well, put it as the title of your next video. You know, sheriffs deputize American citizens to be border guards.
Yeah, I'm very, very pleased. I'm very pleased you brought this up, because I think that's exactly right. Exactly what the situation calls for. Let me say to everyone in the audience out there, if you possibly can, make contact with your sheriff. Tell them this has to be done. They have to deputize fellow citizens to oppose this invading army. And it needs to be done in California, in Arizona, in New Mexico, in Texas. This must be brought to a halt, and it cannot be done soon enough. Yesterday would already have been late in the game. We got to get our act together. We got to stop this lawless invasion. Mike, I'm so pleased. If that were the only comment you'd made during the whole show, that would have been well worth featuring you today, my friend. You're absolutely spot on.
Right. They can be given impromptu classes for the SOP. They can be given flex cuffs. They can be given cutters for the flex cuffs. They bring their own ammunition, and you have to just schedule them to have a rotation so that they do a shift, and then they're replaced by somebody else. You know, it's all basic military-like process that the lower-ranking officers and NCOs can do to get these guys up to speed. And we're just talking about days here, since you're not trying to reinvent the wheel from scratch.
Yes.
So if you are a person who doesn't have any skills or training or equipment, Jason Hansen is an ex-CIA agent, but he's a Mormon, and he's against the New World Order. You could go to spybriefing.com. That's all lowercase. He's got a lot of free information and YouTube videos. He definitely wants you to buy his book and all that kind of stuff, but you don't have to. Just go to YouTube and see all the Jason Hansen videos, and he tells you what I will tell you myself. Basically, have 30-day supply of food, have 30-day supply of water. You can get that by wine punch containers. On a previous interview I've had with you, you know, you drink the wine punch. When you're done, you turn it into a water jug. It's sturdy. It's not going to deteriorate like milk jugs. So as you eat and live, you collect water, and you need 1 gallon of water per day per person in your family to survive in case society collapses. You can get a liner for your bathtub for $30. You know, the word goes out where society's collapsing, you take this liner, put it in your bathtub, put the water, you know, it's over 150 gallons in your normal bathtub. And you can use that as gray water. I don't recommend drinking it, you know, straight. Have a water purifier if you have to drink that water. But drink the Hawaiian punch water. You put a pinch of, you know, bleach inside it to purify it long term. But the point is, have a water purifier, too, a water purifier pump. So that's taking care of water, right? The next thing is food. You can just go to Walmart, and I just recommend beef stew. They stopped having the affordable beef stew. It didn't have very much chemicals, which was the best value. Too bad, huh? But anyway, the other main brand beef stews,
I have more chemicals than you know, Walmart brand. But anyway, get yourself a bunch of canned food like beef stew and meals, you know, SpaghettiOs and everything in bulk. So you mix that with your mashed potatoes, which store well, your noodles, which store well, which you can, you know, obviously make with your water, and it makes a meal right there. And then for drinking drinks, get yourself a massive quantity of, you know, your flavor packets, you know, fill of 18 ounce, whatever it is, bottle, you know, your water, typical water bottle. So you have a bunch of them, so you're not just drinking water all the time. The other secret is that canned foods are the best. Jars don't last too good as they break, but definitely not the wax boxes and other things that are flimsier, just don't store well. So the key is the canned food. So have yourself enough canned food to integrate with your staple rice, noodles, or mashed potatoes. The potatoes themselves are also great, too, but they need a lot of heat to cook them. But anyway, you can then put them in your garden and grow potatoes, and you can live off that. That's a good thing. The biggest problem in food with the, you know, prepper world is protein. And the answer is beans. Unfortunately, I hate beans. But the truth is, if you can get beans, there's your protein. If not, then you might want to look at a chicken coop and having some chickens that'll lay a couple eggs for you. You know, one egg per person per day per, you know, doomsday. But the doomsday scenario we're looking at is a possible nuclear war. And in that case, you want to be out of the blast zone. And if you are, if you want to be out of the radioactive fallout zone, but if you can't and you don't have a basement, then you build a table basement equivalent, which is find the sturdiest table in your house and then stack dense items on top and around it. And it's not going to be fun, but you got to live under that table for 2 weeks until the radioactivity goes down to a lower level. The radioactivity is captured at your roof of your house and the walls of your house, and then it's going to start irradiating from there. You need shielding. 7 inches of dirt cuts the half-life of radiation. So if you got kitty litter, bags of kitty litter, or if you can get some pillowcases, fill it with dirt. You need dense material on top of that table, and then you got to live under that table for 2 weeks with your water, and then to go poo-poo, get a 35-pound, 30-ish pound plastic, you know, pail of kitty litter, pour out the kitty litter, put a trash bag inside, cut a hole on top of the lid, put some kitty litter in it, do your business, pour some kitty litter in, you're just living like a cat. You're just a giant version of a cat. And you can do both number one and number two in there, but I should recommend just taking one of your Hawaiian punch bottles, you know, and using that for your number one. But you've got to stay under there for 2 weeks, and then after 2 weeks, come out and then be prepared to have that hardship that we've been avoiding in life for all these years to build moral stoical character. The zombie apocalypse will be, upon you. You know, you got to realize the zombie apocalypse is just code words from Hollywood of the fear of society collapsing, and there'll be a bunch of people who are like zombies. They're not prepared. You know, the ant and the grasshopper parable.
A post-nuclear environment is going to be a zombie apocalypse scenario.
And, you know, they're working towards that goal. Now, in my first segment, I told you, when you turn over your country to the elites, they hate us and they don't like us. To give you an example, one summer I did took care of a house of a rich person. It was on Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. Trying to put a little humor in here. So we're watching this house, my college friend and I, and we're expecting to get paid, you know, at the end of the summer. And you heard this rummaging outside the house, you know, where we put the trash, you know, every week. And I opened the door. I had my 9mm ready, pistol ready. And I opened the door, and there was a raccoon the size of me eating the trash. I immediately closed the door and said, "That's it. He's got the trash." So basically, he was going around all the people's houses on Lake of the Ozark eating and becoming the size of a human. Like the world's biggest raccoon lives in Lake of the Ozark. But I bring up the story because there was a piano in the house, and my friend named Jeff, I said, Jeff, do not play the piano. He said, well, I know how to play it. I said, it hasn't been played in a long time. I said, Jeff, don't play it because they're jerks. They may not pay us. He played the piano, broke the piano. They came back from their vacation, said, you broke our piano. We're not paying you. So that's in my real-world example of rich people. They just hate us, Jim. They look at us like we're low ambition, and both of him and I are military men. So how can you say we're low ambition? No, never. And officers. Anyway, the point is they hate us. The American people need to understand not everybody is got a good faith in their mind, in their hearts. They, according to polarologists, 25% of all people are sociopaths. 1% psychopaths, that's no empathy, no conscience. And the other 24% are weak conscience, weak empathy, which can happen over time. Like if you are born and you're as a baby, you hit your head, you can have some damage done to your brain and you can end up having low empathy. It can happen because of environmental nurture, lack of nurture in this case, damage. But the people that are 1% psychopaths, that's your Clintons, your Bushes, your Bidens, absolutely. They're 1% psychopaths. And, you know, again, you don't like to hear this, Jim, but the U.S. Constitution, in my opinion, looks at people like that at about 10%. In other words, it lowballs human depravity. The founding fathers screwed up. It's 25%. That's one in every four people are a sociopath. Not one in every, you know, one in 10, which I think the Constitution trying to give it the max leeway, latitude.
I might even have assumed 1 in 100, Mike, but you're telling me the percentage is overwhelmingly greater.
Right. Those people must not hold any legal, powerful position in society. None. They should not be in charge of government, from dog catcher to president, and they should not be running any corporations. It's a human nature fuck up. The founding fathers were wrong. They lowball human depravity. They did. And that's why we're in the mess we're in. It presumes a good faith, moral, stoical population that is God. Immoral, stoical character from the socioeconomic system, meaning they did Little House on the Prairie. They did, you know, a covered wagon across the United States. All of those things build moral, stoical character, and it's a freebie. The United States of America from, you know, we'll say 1619, whenever you think it was born, to 1900, had a freebie of moral, stoical character building from the socioeconomic agrarian farming system. Okay? They did Little House on the Prairie, and they had values. Well, in 1900, you know what happened? Industrial age. You had people collecting in cities, urbanization, pampered from the environment. And they start going, well, I'm bored. Let's go do something demented. So you have basically Sodoms all over the United States, Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't like spelling Gomorrah, so I just say Sodom. But you know what happened? They had to be destroyed. They're just these people have no moral restraint, and they never developed any moral stoical character. So what the United States of America needs to do to survive, we need 3 hours each day in high school of life skills training. Hands-on, not lecture and trying to turn people into woke-tard nihilist hedonists. Actual hands-on skill to show how to grow food, how to mend clothes, make clothes, live in the woods, all these skills to be self-sufficient in case the civilization collapses. All of those societal skills need to be taught in high school. Then after high school, everyone needs to do mandatory 2 years of national service. And that means military, police, civilian conservation corps, firefighting, high-speed train, science, space, not just military. The military is not for everybody. But they all need to do something to buy into this country with their citizenship, build moral stoical character through experience, give people a chance. Instead of saying, give people a chance, give people a chance, give people a chance. Why don't you have them learn that through experience? Hey, that guy that's short, he's pretty handy at getting into small places. We need that. Instead of the women looking down on him saying, hey, he's stealing. I just want somebody over 6 feet and looks like Tom Selleck. You know, there's at least 50% of the men in this country can't get a girlfriend or a wife because of this bullshit women that want Tom Selleck. Okay? So our country has a generation that's living in mom's basement playing video games, have not launched in life. Well, 2 years of national service will launch them in life, give them 2 years of middle-class wage, $50,000, to buy a car, put down a down payment on the house, experience other people and realize their value without having to be hit over the head with it, and also to possibly get a wife, girlfriend, husband, right, and to getting respect of the older generation that they've done something to earn their citizenship. Obviously, Robert Heinlein said that, and everyone thinks, oh, station, those are troopers. It's great. They'll get the women in the co-ed shower scene. No, 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 no. Heinlein later on changed his view from just military service to earned citizenship to the other sort of possible way that I described, universal service of different things than just the military. So, and that was right, 1970. So Heinlein's opinion is my opinion, and we need to have everybody do a moral, stoical, functional service of choice. And that will build the character in our country. So, again, the founding fathers didn't think of it. They didn't need it, right, because of the westward expansion, right? Well, we need it now. So you got Jordan Peterson and these other clowns going around saying, I got moral stoical character because I was in Canada and my father took me fishing and hunting. I said, well, how are you going to get millions of inner city kids to do hunting and fishing from dad when dad's not even there? Dad made the baby and went off, make more babies, living a hedonistic lifestyle. See what I mean? We got to draw the line somewhere, Jim, and save this country. And that's what I talked about earlier about the situational kinetic appreciation. You got to stop this looking at everybody and everything like it's a lawyer, personal damage case. Call me 1-800 and I'll get you $500,000 guaranteed, all that stuff. We got to stop thinking that way. All of life is not a personal, my ox was gore.
Mike, I think you made a sensational observation about the role of sheriffs, Governor Abbott, the governors of California, Arizona, New Mexico. Actually, it's the sheriffs who need to be informed. What is the relationship between the sheriffs and the governors? I could see Newsom or this Katie Hobbs trying to overrule the sheriffs in their own states. Can that be stopped?
They can't do that. It's one thing a sheriff say, hey, I'm the badass, and they'll go back to legal precedents that predate the Constitution of the power of the sheriff. You got to remember, before this idea of policing is an English bobby idea. It's an inner city idea. Before, policing was supposed to be done by the city.
Mike, what is so important about the sheriffs deputizing American citizens is there are a lot of American citizens who are citizen soldiers who want to come to the aid of the nation, but they want to do it in a lawful manner. They want to have the law behind them. The sheriff deputizing them creates that lawful framework. I think this is the answer.
It is. We just got to contact the Sheriff's Association of Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California. In California, you could definitely have a situation where they're doing something the governor doesn't want to do. The Newsom's a pedal Illuminati type. He's a criminal. So the sheriffs are going to have to man up and do it.
Well, they may have to arrest the governor.
They should, because what he's doing is treason.
I think ultimately, the Biden fake obviously deserves to be arrested. So does Mayorkas, the head of Homeland Security. All the other miscreants who are setting up the United States for this invasion, which is taking place before our very eyes.
Right, but you asked me for a solution. I gave you a solution. The solution right now is stop the bleeding, protect the wound, treat for shock. So I've already moved on for treat for shock, protect the wound, which is the infection. We've got to cure the infection, which means don't let any more dirt in, and we need to have some antibiotics. Flow of the country is not very good.
If the federal government won't enforce the laws of the land, let the sheriffs, by God, pick up the slack and with the aid of the American people, enforce the law of the land.
Right. Just make sure that you title the video when you post it, so that the main idea gets across, because people don't read anymore, and they don't even listen to videos or watch videos anymore. It's all in the headline. So your headline should say, calling all sheriffs, deputized American citizens, and close the borders, DIY. Do it yourself. Close the borders now.
Yeah, I think that's the right message, Mike. I'm going to be on it as soon as we conclude our conversation, which is about to come to an end. And with apologies for all the technical glitches, you've made some very powerful points. The most important by far being that the sheriffs can put an end to this violation of law at our border by deputizing Americans to enforce the law and drive these migrants out. Stop this hemorrhage. It's an army invading America. Mark my words, if we do not act now, we are going to have hell to pay. And perhaps our lives, our neighborhoods, our homes, our families, we must take a stand.
Right. The World War II generation would already have this done. Citizen participation in the affairs of the nation state on a macro level.
So, Mike, well, I think some of your remarks about the Constitution may be very controversial, and I might not agree with them all. I certainly think you put your finger on the key with regard to the role of the sheriffs in staunching the hemorrhage at our border, the invasion of these foreigners. It must be brought to an end, and it must be brought to an end now.
To say this, DHS should have already had this already ready to go as a contingency plan. But I don't want them doing anything.
DHS is on the wrong side.
I know. I'm just saying, in a functional, systemic, dream world, they should already have this contingency ready. It's a execute contingency plan 101-5 or whatever.
Mike.
Sheriff, deputies.
Mike, thanks so much. We got the break. We're here. Thank you for being here today.
All right. Call me again. Thanks.
God save America.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me
dead!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global